All
Here we
right.
go. And a one, and a two. And welcome to the Tales from the Long Box podcast. This is episode. Just close that window. Here it is. Episode 219. Spotlight on DC Comics Our Man number one, circa 1999. I think Murray's is building a new addition to his house. So
I'm having a
please.
snack.
Oh, okay. My bad. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to call you out like that. Yeah, I did
Oh,
actually, but you know,
you
whatever.
already discovered today that exists?
What?
Dessert nachos.
Dessert nachos.
Yes, as I'm listening to Murray crunch on something over there, it reminded me that I had discovered dessert nachos today.
Good Lord, man,
It's
that's amazing.
like cinnamon. It's like cinnamon sugar chips with other stuff melted on top, and just like a nacho, except like desserty with whipped cream instead of
Wow.
sour cream.
That sounds
Sorry.
interesting.
Thank you, commercial breaks.
Well, now if we went, you know, I don't have any ads on the site anymore. If I went commercial, I'd have to put all kinds of things up with about cookies and, you know, for federal regulations and, you know, so I'm just trying to keep out of that. So, as we were talking about, oh, by the way, I'm Chris Mosby. Yeah.
Caleb Gerard.
I'm Murray Fox.
If you've never joined us before, if you have, then that wasn't necessary.
Yeah, but I forgot, so.
Yeah, I did too. So, I mean, it's even in the notes, but, you know. Let's
Reeves.
see. I put a thing in here to remind people that we're a spoilery podcast, but that's not really an issue with this issue. Since it's 1999, if you haven't read it by now, then that's not our fault.
It's not. Thank
No,
God.
it's not.
I was feeling guilty for a minute there.
No. Wonderful Scott McDaniel cover. At least I think so. I think some of us aren't as big as fans of Scott McDaniel as I am.
I like his cartoony stuff. This is actually kind of cool.
Yeah, well, I think he was doing Nightwing at the time too. I remember when I bought it, respecting his art, and didn't get it and wasn't happy. But Rags Morales is—that was who's doing that, right?
Yes, who's
Yes,
doing
yeah. I learned to love his art, just not in this particular comic. I don't know why. But yeah, so there. That's how it goes.
So there.
Yeah.
Hey, I know why I didn't, because I didn't actually read this book initially when it came out. I caught on to it a few issues deep.
Oh,
And
really? Yeah.
I don't think I had ever read this issue before I looked it over last
Yeah,
night.
I think I got 7 or 8 issues in before I stopped. I don't remember why, but this character came about during
Grant Morrison.
yes, during the JLA run he did. And they did had a crossover with the 853rd century version of the Justice League, which they were called Justice Legion A, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. The DC 1,000,000 storyline, which there was a found a omnibus for less than 50 on eBay, but just can't afford it right now. Anyway, yeah, I like that. This was actually a pretty cool character. He is a android from the 853rd century with DNA from the original former original yeah, I can't talk. Previous Our Men.
Well, the Golden Age Hourman, the Rex
Yes.
Tyler, not his son, who was part of Infinity Inc. or
That's correct.
any other Hourman who came along. I think, am I right in saying, and maybe one of you can correct me, but this is the first time that Hourman has ever been a title.
Yeah, you're right.
I think so, yeah, because Golden Age Hourman would have just been a feature in like
Yeah, because when I did the
something.
Look on Comic Book DB, there wasn't anything else on there.
He was always a favorite. I mean, I always thought he was kind of cool with the hood and the stuff.
Yeah, I liked it. I liked the one in that was in the Justice League after. I enjoyed that even. So.
Was that Rick Tyler?
Yeah, I believe it was. His powers were a little bit different. He had gotten.
The patch. He had the miracle.
I never can say it right, but yeah, he had the patch. And he had gotten powers from this version of Our Man.
It's a Morocco? Anyhow. So.
He had an hour of time where he could go into this little pocket time bubble where his dad was still alive. And he would ask him things. And they eventually brought him out of there, but it was a nice little twist. I really liked it. But this thing had this thing called the Warlogog, which gave him complete control over time. He eventually gave it up to be more human, which we see in this issue, I believe. Oh, spoilers! All right, who wants to start this?
Oh, I can start us off here. So we got a big splash page. Our Man hanging out with the Justice League. See, I think this is why I didn't pick up the series. I wasn't a fan of Morrison's Justice League, so I didn't end up picking up this series. But I've picked up some of the issues in back issue bins over the years, and I have liked it a lot. So I should have.
I wonder if this is Rags Morales' first work.
Oh, I don't think so.
I don't either. I know it's the Crisis book he did with
Identity Brad Crisis. Meltzer.
Identity, thank you, yeah.
Well, he worked on the Black Condor book from 1992, so that blows that right out of the water.
Yeah, nice try, Chris. Around.
Oh, yeah, he did the penciler of Archer and Armstrong, the 1992 version before that, so there you go.
Alrighty.
Alright, enough about that.
Alrighty, so it looks like the issue is narrated by, I think, Snapper Carr.
Somebody you don't hear from very often anymore.
No, he was like JLA mascot, and then we didn't see him for years, and then it was Invasion that brought him back for a little bit, right?
Yeah, he got superpowers.
The Blasters!
Yes, for the two issues that ran, or however long that ran.
Yeah, he was used very well in that Checkmate series there for a while.
Really?
Yeah, he ended up being one of the operatives that Checkmate used, and he was even in, what was that one when all the crap was going down? Oh, it was Final Crisis stuff. He showed up in some issues in there, I think.
Checkmate, Snapper Carr.
Yeah, huh. Yeah, he was. it was.
They were like
it.
Scraping the bottom of the barrel at that point. Then,
well, he can teleport, so I mean, it's not like he's useless.
Have you ever met the character?
I never did understand why he was around, but you know.
Anyway, not that I'm not a fan of Snapper Carr. I like Snapper Carr, but come on. He's not a... Anyway, apparently he is a Checkmate secret agent. However, he's not who... He wouldn't be my go-to guy.
Hold on. We lost Caleb for just a second. No. You there?
We just had a flash of power here. It was really weird.
Okay, he's back.
Ooh, power flash. Alrighty, so Snapper here. Did you get that?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I'm sorry. He keeps thinking about Our Man and himself. Not the original, but the android that came from the 853rd century. And he's hanging out with the Justice League in the Watchtower. And Snapper's down here, years away from his time with the JLA. And he says, that's strange because we won't meet for another 2 hours, and I've never even heard of him. But right now, I know him because time acts weird around Iron Man. Our Man. E? Our Man. Whoops, sorry. An hour man acts weirder around time.
And then,
yeah, totally. Written by Tom Pyre. Rags Morales is the penciler. David Mikis is the inker. Tony Bedard is the editor. Look at that. This is when Tony Bedard was editing.
Mm, interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I like the characters they're using. If you notice, they're all newer versions of Golden Age characters.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, yeah. We got Flash. We got the Wally West Flash. We got Kyle Rayner, Green Lantern, Huntress. We got Azrael. Is that his name?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah,
he's supposed to be Hawkman. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's early on.
Because despite Grant Morrison's ultra-powerfulness at DC, he was not allowed to bring Hawkman back, so he created Azrael.
They try to forget him, don't they?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But he had wings.
Yes. Wings and... Yeah. That's all I remember. All right. So then I think it's Hourman that's appearing on the... in the watchtower there.
Yep.
In the purple. Mm-hmm. This is before he gets his hip new outfit. And he pops in and he says, "Anyone mind if we skip the next 20 minutes and just get on with it?" And Huntress is like, "You want to do what?"
Is it just me, or is Flash and Green Lantern paying homage to the Legion and playing Dungeons and Dragons? or is that just me?
It looks like they're doing something.
Yeah.
Alrighty, and Hourman says, "I know you're in the middle of the game, but Flash is going to win in 27 seconds anyway." And Rayner's like, "Thanks," and he shuts the game off. Flash is like, "We were into this," and Azrael is like, "What is it you want anyway?" And Hourman says he wants to bypass the next 20 minutes because they have some awkward moments. And in 241 seconds, he's going to utter a remark that unmasks my naivety, loneliness, and underlying anxiety.
Whoa!
And what exactly would you say? Says, "Oh, it's not Azrael, it's Zor-El."
Oh, that's right.
Zor-El. Yep.
Sorry, Azrael.
You all right there, Caleb?
Yeah, just a big boom of thunder, like right outside our window.
Ooh wee. So Hourman says, "It's nothing, Zor-El. The point is, Green Lantern would look at Flash and mutter, 'We've got to get him a woman.'" Huntress is like, "What? That's the stupidest, most sexist," and she starts smacking Green Lantern. He's like, "I haven't even said anything. Our man doesn't need a woman. What he needs is some exposure to human nature and common sense." And Kyle Rayner just throws some earmuffs on his head. "I'm not listening. Please direct all complaints to people who actually said things." And Huntress is like, "He came to our time to be human. Look how you're teaching him." She's all hard-nosed. Wow. Mm-hmm. And she tells Hourman, "Look, you're only 2 years old, and you act it. You're immature, you're self-centered, you're unsocialized. You ruined our game. But some thoughtless revelation or rash move could just as easily ruin our lives." And Hourman's like, "It could, couldn't it?" This discussion continues until a bored Flash suggests that social interaction could be instructive. He's a kook, that Hourman, telling us what's happening before it happens.
Yikes, a hootie.
And Hourman says we should be consulting the JLA's resident authority on dating. And Green Lantern says we have one of those. And then Hourman is like, "So what do you want to experience? So do you want to experience that in real time, or should we simply go ahead and consult your expert? It's up to you." And then we get some narrating there from Snapper. "You'd think the Master of Time would be a little more patient. Now I should race and write down just who and what Hourman is and his story leading up to this before I forget. But first, the dating expert. I knew him so long ago. He's a student, a teacher of the world's awfulest knowledge. He'd share fragments of his wisdom in cold, whispered blasts. And my buddy-to-be is about to get really blasted. Green Lantern's like, are you sure about this? And Flash says, have you seen how women look at him? The cool way he seems to not react? And Huntress is like, don't be stupid. Go ahead, be stupid. As long as this mission widens poor Hourman's social circle beyond you guys. And Zor-El says, whoever we're looking for, he's in the junkyard. And I think it's Flash. Flash is saying, like I said, Zor-El, I tracked him with my JLA signal device. Look, it got us in the general area, okay? So where is he, Hourman? You seem to foresee everything. And Hourman says, only that which I take pains to think about. I have to focus. All right. He's in danger. And he smashes a mirror. And Huntress says he's in danger from the looking glass. And Hourman says, no, behind it. And behind the looking glass, we see Batman trapped in a giant guillotine.
He's bolted down.
Mad Hatter. He's bolted down, I know. And Green Lantern's like, don't you worry, we'll get you out of there. And Batman's like, don't do anything. I have the situation well in. And then Hourman zaps the guillotine.
Ages it.
Ages it, yep. And zaps the little babies with the Mad Hatter. Or he turns the Mad Hatter and his henchmen into babies.
Yes.
There you go.
He's totally like the Time Trapper. That's why he's wearing that purple robe.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, very eerie.
He's evil.
Mm-hmm. And Batman is like, what do you think you're doing? I'm rescuing you. My time vision has aged the guillotine to dust and infantilized your tormentors. Ooh. I'll re-age them once they are safely incarcerated.
Cool word.
Mm-hmm. How are you going to incarcerate a baby, though? What judge in his right mind is going to put babies in jail?
Well, he might unbaby them.
Maybe. Batman says, I had the situation in hand. See this laser? I had nearly cut my bonds. Now change the Mad Hatter and his men back and stay out of my way. Do it. This is, of course, cranky, crabby Batman.
Mm. He's a show-off, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Hourman's like, you're angry. I don't know why. See, I will respect your wishes. And he ages everyone back up to the right age. And Mad Hatter's like, what happened? The Justice League nearly saved you from me, but I persuaded them otherwise, says Cranky Batman. Don't hurt me. And Batman whispers to the others, see, I worked long and hard for that. Beneficiaries of rescues don't command fear. And Hourman says, what else am I supposed to do when I see someone in danger? And Batman tells him to grow up. Really? Grow up. He's helping you, you big cranky bat. This is where Batman is just being a dick.
Yeah,
he is being a dick.
Really, really is, yeah.
Grow up. I've been in and out of the JLA for years, and I've never met anyone so powerful and so unworldly. You're new to our time. Before you act in it, you'd better learn about it. And he says, you're still angry. He's going to be angry for another 20 years, and then the new 52 will come along and will soften him slightly. Mm. And Zor-El says, don't be so upset, my friend. Batman is offering you the benefit of his experience. Take it. All right, says Hourman, I will take it. And Batman suddenly is like, what are you doing? And we're getting like a flashback, except Batman gets to see the flashback. Mm-hmm. I'm absorbing your JLA history through the prism of your experience.
Interesting that one of the villains there is Dr. Light.
I know.
Yeah, jumps out.
Might give me a concrete idea of what to... And then he suddenly knows what he has to do, and he zips off into like a big black hole. Green Lantern's like, wait for us! And Huntress says, hey guys, are you going to tell Batman why you came here in the first place? Batman's all grouchy. I'm waiting. And then the two goofs are like, nothing really. That's who they were going to take for dating experience? They were going to take him to Batman?
Bruce Wayne, he dates all the time.
Yeah.
Or I think it was
dates.
They were saying that women look at him a certain way, especially when he's Batman.
Yeah.
Alrighty. So then we've got Snapper Carr again. And he's hanging out at a little cafe, the Mad Yak Cafe. Oh, I like that
Mad
name.
Mad Yak, huh? That sounds interesting.
Mm-hmm. Coming soon.
Sounds like a National Geographic special, When Yaks Attack.
Alrighty, so Snapper's saying he'll be drifting
coming
in here
soon,
about...
perhaps.
Perhaps,
okay.
He's coming in about 20 minutes. As we get closer to interacting the ordinary way, my foreknowledge is fading fast. He's on the edge of a major change, I know that. He's headed for me because Batman's memories built me up as a bridge between superheroes and humans. I know that. Jesus. We'll become brothers and share the wildest times either one of us has ever had. I know that. I know all about him and Bethany. The rest is vague, just names. Amazo, Timazo, Humazo, Our Mazo, the JLA androids.
Oh, sorry.
Tomorrow Woman. Now, had we met Tomorrow Woman at this point or not yet?
I don't know.
Yeah,
had she been part of the JLA?
Her issue had already come out by this point. Yeah.
Okay. The giant nanites, Hypertime, the Time Point, the Gombeezies, the Radio Photo, the Century of Solitude, the Elseman, and then the JLA bursts in and says, Snapper Carr? And he's like, hey, you are early. And he's wearing a Booster Gold t-shirt.
It's vintage.
Oh, that's classic.
Mm-hmm.
Vintage post-crisis Booster Gold t-shirt.
Mm-hmm. And our man says, well, we skipped 20 minutes. And Snapper's like, I understand. And I love this. Green Lantern's all geeky. Excuse me, you're the Snapper Carr, the one who hung out with the JLA from the beginning? Aw, look at that. He's all fanboy.
Mm-hmm.
And Snapper's like, yeah, say hi to Batman for me, if he ever forgives you for tonight. And Huntress is like, you know that? Sure, baby, don't you? Oh, you gotta love someone who can call Huntress baby.
Mm-hmm. Without getting punched?
Yeah. Now, Tyler,
this version of Huntress without getting an arrow through the head.
Yeah.
That's right. Now, Tyler, let's you and me beat feet to my crib. Bethany will be over when she gets off work. My crib. Ooh, he's like stuck in the 60s.
Yeah, it's like the 60s are cold.
That's all right.
Oh, real quick, before we change, I looked up Snapper Carr. He showed up coinciding with the Green Arrow and Black Canary wedding special event, an issue of the miniseries The Four Horsemen has, that 52 Aftermath one.
Yeah.
Has Snapper eavesdropping on Superman, Batman, and Wonder Woman using a communications and tracking system. This indicates the involvement of the Metahuman Policing Agency. Man, I can't talk with a shit today. Known as Checkmate. Snapper later reveals that he has been deep undercover for Checkmate ever since the intelligence satellite known as Brother Eye and the former Justice League advisor Maxwell Lord tried using the Omex to kill the world's Metahumans. Snapper attempts to assist the heroes in defeating the Four Horsemen. Batman decides to allow Snapper to continue in this fashion since he looks favorably. And then, in Final Crisis Resist, he's still a Checkmate agent. This is where I became more. He showed very prominently in there, but he's still a Checkmate agent, although a low-ranking pawn. He was in possession of his teleportation powers. He's now known as Pawn 922, and it talks a little bit. He's going back and forth trying to fight that anti-life equation. So anyway, go ahead.
Wow.
My first Snapper Carr exposure was actually the issue where he betrayed them to the Joker.
Really?
I remember reading about that.
It wasn't even the issue itself. I mean, I think it was in a digest or. Mm-hmm. I don't think I actually had that. Or were like the 100-page giants that they put out for a while there.
Yeah,
I bet it was in one of those.
Anyhow,
interesting. I'm trying to think where I first came across him. I don't know if I ever Maybe Invasion? Maybe?
Yeah,
wow.
That's when he got his, yeah. His
like,
first
I think I would have heard of him.
Yeah. His first appearance was Brave and the Bold number 28. Isn't that the very first appearance of the Justice League?
No. They're a little before that in Brave and Bold.
No, it says it right here. Yeah, that is.
That's the first Justice League is 28?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, Brave and the Bold number 28, February and March 1960, created by Gardner Fox and Mike Sikowski.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry.
A little segue.
All righty. So, Snapper takes off with Hourman. And Hourman's asking about Bethany. And Huntress is like, they're ditching us. And Flash is like, I think we need to keep an eye on him. And fake Hawkman says, let's give Hourman some time, Wally. He can handle himself. And I have a sense about situations like this. I think he's just met his guardian angel. Bum, bum, bum.
Wah, wah.
All righty, so it's nighttime. They're wandering the streets of whatever town they're in. Snapper, says Hourman. Why'd you call me Tyler? I am Hourman, an intelligent machine colony. Yeah, yeah, from the year 85-271. But you're more than a machine, Ty. Let's see if I can still think of all the reasons why. Then he starts listing them. Your Miraclo gene wear duplicates the DNA of Rex TikTok Tyler, the original Hourman, which makes you a Tyler. Your head contains the Warlogog, a weird ancient alien paperweight that gives you control over time. Someone named Metron was trying to suck you into becoming something called a new god, but you don't want any of that anymore because, oh man, because I was used by a villain from my own time to very nearly kill everyone in this era, says Hourman, and that occurred in the DC 1 million miniseries.
Mm. Hey.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Open the pool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, good stuff.
So Snapper says, and how'd that turn out? My clairvoyeurism just went Splitsville. So just in case you haven't read DC 1 million, Hourman's going to tell you that, boom, the JLA helped me, I owe them a debt, but when I try to repay it, he just screws up. And Snapper totally gets that. Because underneath that scary specter cloak, you're just a sweet, stupid kid like I was. Now do me. And Hourman's like, what? That's cool. I like how they're building these, the similarities between the two. They've got, you know, they're both like... Or they both were innocent, naive little things that betray the JLA. And Snapper's well beyond that now, but Hourman is right where Snapper used to be. Aww. It's like a Turner and Hooch situation or something.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That's an odd comparison there, Murr.
I know. I don't know. I don't know what I was reaching for, but there you go.
I'm sure if someone were to really, really, really dig, they can make that 6 degrees of connection.
Think of all the talks we'll have. Think of all the things I'll tell you, says Snapper. And Hourman says, right, you're Lucas Carr. You create that noise with your hands when you're excited, so people call you Snapper. Yeah, well, you should see my brother Spitter. They never wanted him in the league. Ba-da-bump. And Hourman says, they wanted you for your mechanical aptitude, but mostly your invigorating exuberance. You left under a cloud when... And Snapper's like, never mind, next. Yeah, nobody wants to be reminded of the Joker. And then Hourman says, you gained superpowers of some sort, teleportation, and you went into outer space. And that episode ended under rather shameful circumstances when... And then Snapper's like, stop, next, bzz, move on. Snapper's had it rough, poor guy. So you returned here to your hometown. You call yourself a writer, yet you subsist by repairing automobiles. Where? And Snapper greets his dog, who he has named Starro.
Cat.
Oh,
yeah,
cat?
That is a cat, yes. It's more Steve evident in
rally.
In the panel below that, it's a lot more evident.
Oh, yeah, that looks more cat-like. Under the table? Why would you want to repair autos under a... Gotcha.
Next.
Ooh, yes. And he says you recently entered into a brief unhappy marriage that ended when you... Enough already.
Okay.
Why do you come off so much better in your story?
Oh, that's right. In Infinite Crisis, wasn't he with Cheetah? Didn't he hang out with Cheetah?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I mean, this is well before Infinite Crisis, but
actually, it was in that Final Crisis.
Or Final Crisis, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it was in that Final Crisis Resist. They got trapped in a thing, and yeah, things happened.
Napper Carr and Cheetah?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah. It was kind of like, she thought she was going to die because of that something. Oh, the Analife equation, and she just said, well, let's do the nasty, and they kind of did it right there on the floor.
Cheetah?
Yeah.
Barbara Minerva, like the old woman Cheetah?
No, some newer version.
Well, it's okay, here it is here. During his last errand, when we're talking, he was jumping around during Final Crisis Resist. He was looking for someone free of the Analife equation to join him and Mr. Terrific and the last few members of the Resistance in a last stand. Several of these missions, including the destruction of a germ warfare lab, involved killing brainwashed human slaves. During his last errand, he saves Cheetah, who in a fit of gratitude and lust tears away his hazmat suit to share one last moment of intimacy with one of the last free humans. While relaxing afterwards, they are found by Gorilla Grodd. Snapper risks death by transporting himself and Cheetah back to the Resistance hideout. Unfortunately, because of Darkseid's long-term plans, his teleportation powers are now gone. Even with Cheetah's willing help, they are left with little choice. Michael activates every last Nomek unit left, which are designed to attack super beings. Snapper and the remnants of his cell, Cheetah included, head the counterattack. So, yeah.
I still want to know which Cheetah this was. This is pre-New 52, so there another Cheetah before, like, other than Barbara Minerva?
I'll have to look it up.
Wasn't there the one with in Burns Wonder Woman?
There might be.
Wasn't that the regular? Well, who knows? He was throwing out and revamping everything. Maybe he did make a new Cheetah.
Barbara and Minerva. It's post-crisis. They say there's Sebastian Bellastrost and there's an Amazon Cheetah. From blah 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 blah. Hopefully not. It wasn't the male version. Sure.
That's going to tap her in a whole different direction.
Yeah. Yes, it is the Barbara Minerva version.
Ew.
According to this, in 1 year, places and allows her to change her appearance from human to cheetah at will. She also appears in Salvation Run. Later, still in Final Crisis Resist, she joins forces with Checkmate to rebel against Darkseid and enjoys a brief relationship with Snapper Carr.
Wow, no wonder she let herself get rebooted. Mm-hmm. Holy smokes.
Yeah, she didn't really look all that bad. She wasn't as old as... She's not the Golden Age version, so according to that. Okay.
No,
Thank you for being a friend.
Yeah.
Alrighty. Alrighty. So getting back to Snapper's story here, an Hour Man story. Snapper agrees Our Man is a good guy. And that's why he got Our Man a little present. And Our
first
Man
thing
tiny little envelope.
Yeah, I thought it was drugs there for a minute, but...
Not from Snapper, come on. Mm. And Our Man sniffs it and he says, it smells like 10 years. Bingo, says Snapper. And Our Man is like, what is it? That there is a little piece of Adam, the original endocrinostat of the first android ever. A real piece of work. He says, or Our Man says, it's 5 times my age. That's right, vintage stuff. Take a look. Oh, sorry. These panels are wonky.
Yeah, that's fine.
I read them out of order. Anyway, you know what it is? It's a little piece of Amazo. That's what it is. Yep. The first Android. So Snapper says, a real ass named Professor Ivo built him right around the time I started hanging with the JLA. Amazo could suck up superpowers. He had the whole leagues before long, and he actually beat them. Our man says he did. For a little while, anyway. So my first forebear was evil? Where did you get this? I kind of walked it out of the JLA trophy room, you know, for a keepsake of all those years. Like they'd ever miss it. And our man says, I do not approve, but I must speak with him. And he zaps it with his time vision, and the Snapper's like, wait a minute, what are you doing?
Bad Stop idea. That.
Totally, because he's just recreated Amazo. And Amazo's all shouty, where am I? Who are you? And Starro the cat is having a rough time of it. It jumps away. And our man says, I am our man, an intelligent machine colony from the year 85-271. One could say that I'm you, many times improved. And Snapper's like, get rid of him, Tyler, I'm warning you. I brought your past self to 1999 by focusing my time vision on a remnant of you. I must ask you. And Amazo's like, who's cowering behind you? I know him. And Snapper's like, you got to end this. He's a killer. Please, says our man. I must know. Were you programmed for evil, or did you choose? And Amazo's like, Snapper Carr of the Justice League. Yeah, well, says our man. But Tyler, just shut him up. Shut up. Get him out of here. I hate the Justice League, says Amazo. And he grabs Snapper Carr with some Green Lantern energy and starts smacking him around the house. And our man says, no, be gone. And he zaps Amazo again, and Amazo vanishes. Yep. And Snapper's like, oh, that was bracing.
You know, I think at the time, the art, I didn't care for the art, and I grew to like him later on because this looks really cool.
Now, yeah, he's not bad. He's not bad.
I've always liked his art. Well, I guess I haven't always liked his art. I just said that. Anyway.
Now you're liking it. And our man apologizes. He overstepped his bounds. And Snapper's like, you couldn't see that coming? My fault. Second sight is useless when one fails to look. Ooh, that's deep. That could be like a fortune cookie. Mm-hmm. Well, I have one. And only one rule in this house, says Snapper. No supervillains, okay? Okay, says our man. And as for the gift, I like it. But I can't accept stolen. Don't worry. Next time I'll just get you a bottle of... But of course, there's a great big explosion. And someone bursts through saying, die. It looks like...
Ruh-roh.
Looks like almost an anti-monitor skull-faced dude.
It looks like that guy from Masters of the Universe. I can't remember.
Yeah, Skeletor.
Yeah.
Not Skeletor, but one of his minions.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I can't remember which one. I don't know the characters well enough. Anyhow.
Yeah. Who is this? And the new dude is Amazo, fool. And Snapper says, he got rid of you. Yes, he did, says new Amazo, right after I absorbed half of his infinite time power. Do you know what half of infinite power is? And Snapper says, still an awful big load of power. Mm-hmm. And at that moment, while the house is lighting up like the 4th of July, Bethany happens to come on over. Oh, she's got a cool little convertible. She's a keeper. Snap, it's Bethany. I'm here to meet your geeky friend so you can find something else to nag me about. Geez, Snap, what kind of weird party did you invite me to this time? And she's kind of covering her eyes from all the light. And then she gets blasted by some time vision. It gets turned into a baby.
And changes her clothes, too.
Yeah, that's right. She's wearing... Yeah. Now she's wearing shorts and a little panda bear t-shirt. So she's toddling off along. And Amazo says, you want to see the beginning of our kind? Here it is, Professor Ivo's workshop. I hated this man for giving me life. I'm all grown up now, father. Are you proud? And poor old
now he looks like Professor Skeletor. Amazo yes. is.
Yeah.
Now he looks like Skeletor, yeah.
Yeah.
Amazo says, but you, Arrowman, you showed me something worse than life. Obsolescence. Meaninglessness. Death.
Right.
Defend yourself, worm. And Arrowman says, well, if you insist, but not here. We're going to settle this on War Station Kryn in the year 3054. And so they just zap there. It's a pleasure to confront a foe even less experienced than I. While you squandered your aggression on a temporal image of me, taken from the instant you attacked me, I made preparations.
Jesus.
No preparations can save you. I have half your power and 1,000 times your ambition. I, too, can summon my past and future selves, and we get all these versions of Amazo popping up. Cool. I'm going to make you suffer for 3 eternities before I rebuild history without you in it, without anyone in it but me. And while he's doing this, our man is counting 4, 3, he's counting down, is my prediction. 2, and suddenly they're back in Snappercar's house, and all of the other Amazos are gone, and Snapper's happy to see that our man's alive. I can't sense them anymore, what'd you do? 1, says our man, and he zaps Amazo. 0, and Amazo's gone. He's gone, says Snapper. For good or just Tyler? Our man falls down. Snapper, I blundered again, he said. So, oh, it's not Timazo, it's Timazo.
Timazo's.
So Timazo's not coming back, right? It would be impossible, says our man. The only way to get rid of Timazo, as you call him, was to re-knit time itself, to recast the flow of events as close to the origin as possible, but without Amazo, it took all I had to... And Snapper's like, wait a second, you screwed around with the past? Of course not, Snapper, I recast the future.
Oh, of course.
That is crazy. Mm-hmm. Yes, crazy. My powers once again created unintended results. I don't know what to do. I'm our man, I can't change that. And Snapper's like, shoot, I've changed myself 100 times, Ty.
That snapping thing gets annoying after a while, doesn't it?
Do what I do. Chuck the whole omnipotence thing. It's holding you back, man. Like, how can you learn from your mistakes if you keep on doing them? How indeed, says our man. All right, let us chuck the omnipotence. And he takes the whirligig out of him. Snapper's like, you're doing it now? Shh. Is that the Warlogog? What are you going to do? Quiet, please. I have to get this just right. Have a heart, man. I never get to see stuff like this anymore. All right. I'm breaking the Warlogog down into tachyons. I'm keeping a fraction so I can still be of use. I owe the JLA that much. I'll retain my Miraclo strength and speed, 1-hour periods of time vision, limited fuel for my time ship. Now I'm sending the rest back to past moments when they were never found. I'm Metron. I feel weak. And he faints. Again. It's all right, Tyler. It's all right. Snapper, what have I done? And he, you know, he's kind of sleepy. We'll see, says Snapper. And we sit there a while before I nod out, all happy and weary from our big night and its promise of so many more. I congratulate myself all the way to Dreamland. Things had started out messy and gotten messier, but we did something about it. We faced all of our man's fears and insecurities and awful possibilities, and we didn't cave into any of them. We stripped away the garbage until Tyler's life shone through and lifted it out and put it in a wild new package with no loose ends. Except, of course, for little Bethany, who's now wandering out into the streets. Did that girl learn nothing?
Apparently not.
Nope. Oncoming traffic, getting ready to squash her. And that's the end. Bloop. Bloop, yeah, bloop.
I gotta get the rest of this series.
I think I would probably like it. I will dig it up the next time I'm back issue.
I don't land. Think it went for very long, did it?
Nope.
I'm gonna guess 20-something issues.
I think you're
did
right.
Did it go that long? Maybe
I
only 18.
I just tabbed the page up on Comic Book DB.
25 Let's issues. Guess.
25? 25. That's not okay. Bad at all.
And Payer wrote Tom Peer wrote all 25 of them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what he's done recently, but I'm sure he's out there still.
I think he wrote some of the Convergence minis.
He might have. Oh,
makes sense.
But I don't know what else he's done. I always liked his writing, actually. I liked it a lot.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of some stuff he's done that I really liked.
He was on the L. Dot Legion for a while, and he wrote Rebels.
Oh, yep. Yeah, he did, didn't he?
And I think he wrote the Reboot Legion for a while.
Oh, there a long time, actually. Hour Man number 0 that Wizard put out. I am, I'm procuring it now, so.
Yeah, that's right. He did Legionnaires for, oh my god, quite a few, a couple years almost.
He did it for
Legionnaires. Legionnaires 19 through 34, then 36, then 40, 44, 47, 54, 75, and 1 million.
Okay, cool.
You did Power of the Atom for a while.
I did actually like.
Oh, I never read that one.
He did. He did a couple issues of the reboot of Dr. Fate back in the late 80s.
Oh yes, he did.
And various other DC mishmash. He did Legion Secret Files, Legion The Beginning of Tomorrow, whatever the hell that was. Mm. He did The New Gods, wrote it with Rachel Pollack back in 95.
Wow.
He did some Marvel stuff, Bongo comic stuff, some Simpsons stuff. And he did various other things here and there. Also a couple books.
Oh,
and he edited Animal Man for a while. He did The Black Orchid. He edited a lot of...
I've got that series somewhere.
Looks like he was an editor over at Vertigo for a while.
Yeah, I think he was an editor before he hopped into Writer's Hill.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's right. He did Shade. That's where I remember him from. He did the initial run on Shade, edited the original run on Shade, of course. Sorry. That's it. And of course he did the lovely War of the Gods miniseries. Everyone's favorite failed George Perez miniseries.
Oh yeah. I never even finished it.
Yeah. I'm glad I suggested this. I don't know where it came from any more than I know where the Kiss comic book came from, so
it's another. This makes me want to read the entire series. I wonder if it's
only two.
If it's traded.
25 issues, my friend. That's not very many.
No, it's
I don't
not.
Know if it's traded. It might be on Comixology.
Maybe. Very well, may be. I actually have the action figure of the JSA one, the remade one.
Yeah, I'm gonna bet this was not traded.
More than likely not, no.
That would be my guess. If they didn't trade Fate, they were not going to trade Our Man.
Yeah, true. Well, that wasn't all that great, I didn't think. But what? You disagree?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Ooh, no. He wrote the Tech Jensen comic book, which was a Stephen Colbert character.
Yeah, I remember that. There's a lot of, I'm looking at Amazon. There's a lot of his action figures, various different kinds. But no comic now.
Oh, well. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for indulging me once again.
Sure. What I want to do next time. We'll keep that secret. I'll tell you about it later.
Alrighty.
So, yeah, it's Jim Starlin favorite of mine. Actually, I was looking through episodes and I was trying to see if we'd done it before, but I talked about it in one of our top five lists episodes with our favorite independents. So.
And an 8 Dread Star. Okay, got it.
No, it's not Dreadstar. No. Very, very, very good deal. little another hint. It's one that he did years and years ago, and not in the last, I don't know, 5-6 years ago, did the third book. So some people might know what that is, but.
Well, I'm supposed to make fish tacos now.
Oh, okay.
All right. Yeah, well, you have fun.
I need to go check and see if the kids killed each other.
Fingers crossed for you, Chris. Fingers crossed.
There's real quiet up there, so I don't know. Okay, well, there's one of them walking around. I can see him on the camera. let's wrap this up. As usual, you can... wait a minute. My brain just stopped. Oh, yeah. You can send us an email at podcast@talesfromthelongbox.com. Or you can join us on the Facebook page and let us know what you think there. Or you can join us, on the actual episode. You can comment on there and let us know what you think. And that is it for this week.
Gotcha.
We are out. All right.